Today's healing of the blind man Bartimaeus is one of the famous stories told in Mark's gospel. And I think there's so much that we could say about it, but I guess one of the things that strikes me is how Mark structures his gospel. And similar to Matthew and Luke, there's a period of ministry that happens in Jesus's home area, which is Galilee. So the ministry that happens around Nazareth, where he grew up, and around Capernaum, where he was staying with Peter, which is where Peter lived. But then in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's all this this journey towards Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, of course, is where Jesus is going to suffer, die, rise after 3 days, and then ascend to the Father. So the journey to Jerusalem in each of these Gospels is really important because it signifies the journey of our faith that always goes through the cross in order to arrive at the resurrection. So here's what's unique about Mark's Gospel and Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. It's that it's at the beginning of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem in Mark's Gospel, there's the healing of a blind man. And then again, right before Jesus gets to Jerusalem, he heals another blind man. And that's what we hear in today's gospel, the healing of Bartimaeus. So this Jerusalem journey begins with the healing of the blind man. It ends with the healing of a blind man. And the next thing that happens in the gospel after this is Jesus enters Jerusalem triumphantly. And that's what we commemorate each year on Palm Sunday. So what's Mark trying to tell us in structuring his gospel this way? Well, it seems pretty clear that he's trying to tell us that the journey of faith is a journey from darkness to light. It's a journey from blindness to being able to see. And so we could even think about our own need for God, our need for salvation, as a need to be able to see, a need to be healed from this terrible blindness that afflicts all of us. So I guess there's a couple things I'd like to say about this particular blind man in Mark's gospel. Jesus tells us that the blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. So not only is he blind, but he's also poor and destitute and totally in need. What a humiliating place to be along the roadside begging. Symbolically, we could say he's spiritually destitute as well. Not only is he spiritually blind, unable to see, but if he's unable to see, then he's also unable to follow the Lord. So there's an important detail that's given here, and that's that Jesus encounters this blind man right outside of Jericho. And Jericho is that place that was known to be a place of sin in the Old Testament. So there's that story in the book of Joshua where Joshua leads the Israelites around the city of Jericho. It's kind of a liturgical procession, and then they blow their horns, and none of the Israelites know what's going to happen. And they're fearful of the people of Jericho because it's such a sinful place. But when they blow their horns, the city walls fall over, and Israel is able to defeat Jericho. So it's in the Old Testament, it's a place of sin. And so the fact that this man is sitting by the roadside begging, he's blind, right outside of Jericho, reminds us that sin leads to blindness and spiritual poverty and destitution. And this is true for each one of our lives. It's true of us, of original sin and our own need for baptism, but it's also true of our personal sins. Our personal sins don't lead us to happiness like we think they're going to, but our personal sins lead us to misery. So Who can relate to that? Well, you don't need to raise your hands, but I'll raise my hand. I can relate to that. That my own personal sins don't lead me to greater happiness. They make me miserable. And if we have any doubt about that, we could just ask someone who's struggled with an addiction. Addiction to alcohol, drugs, sex, gambling, whatever. But that sin that someone follows because they think that's going to make them happier actually leads them more and more into enslavement and to darkness. We experience this in our own life because we too become addicted to sin. Even the smaller sins in our life, like gossip, once we've started to let a little bit of gossip into our life, it's just easier to keep on gossiping. Once we've started to let a little bit of lying slip into our life, well, it's easier to just like keep lying. I also think about this when people get into the habit get out of the habit of coming to Mass on Sunday. I have a lot of compassion for people who used to go to Mass and they've gotten out of the habit of going to Mass on Sunday. When I'm working with people through marriage prep or baptismal prep or just encountering other people in our community and we talk about going to Mass on Sunday, most people say, well, Father, I know I should be going and I want to go and we're going to try. We're really going to try. But the reality is that we become addicted to sin. And so not coming to Sunday Mass becomes another way that we become addicted. And the longer that we stay away, the harder and harder it is to motivate ourselves to go. So that's just the reality of sin inside of us. And we should have compassion for the sinner, not judgment, but compassion, because it's hard. It's hard. Once we've fallen into habits of sin in our life, no matter what the habit, we become addicted to that, and it's harder and harder to stop that. So that's Bartimaeus in today's gospel. That's the man sitting at the roadside begging. He's blind. He can't see. And he's poor. He can't help himself. But what does he do? Something that's really important for us to see is that when he hears that Jesus is going to pass by, he cries out to Jesus, "Son of David, have pity on me." And he keeps crying out, even though unbelievably, the people surrounding Jesus are like trying to get him to shut up. But thankfully, Jesus pays attention to the man's cries and says, "No, call him to me." So then those followers of Jesus, they kind of realize, oh, okay, we're not supposed to shut up the man. We're supposed to help the man in encountering Jesus. So then they run up to the man and tell him, "No, get up and come to Jesus." So I guess, how does this relate to our own life? Well, this is exactly what we need, to cry out to Jesus in our own experience of poverty and addiction to sin, to cry out to Jesus, and to keep crying out to Jesus. Our so-called friends might try to stifle our crying out to Jesus, but it's important that we keep crying out to Jesus. So that's the first thing that I think we take away from this. All of our personal need to be healed of the various ways that we're blind in our journey of faith, especially in our experience of our own addiction to sins in our life, whether they're great or small, they still addict us. We still need Jesus to save us from them, to liberate us from them. So the other detail that I think is so interesting about this, and that is that this is one of the only healing stories in all of the Gospels where we get the name of the person healed. So we're told that it's Bartimaeus. And there have been lots of theories as to why we get this man's name, why we so many people who are healed in the gospel remain anonymous, but this man, we know his name, it's Bartimaeus. One of those theories is that Bartimaeus was a well-known person in the early Christian community. So in other words, when people read the Gospel of Mark or heard the Gospel of Mark proclaimed, they would have heard essentially the vocation story of someone that they knew of in their own community. But what I think is interesting is that, so we're told that his name is Bartimaeus, and in Hebrew, this literally means son of Timaeus, because Bar means son of, and then we have the father's name. So a lot of other names in the Gospels are Bar something, and so we know what the dad's name. So Bartimaeus. But then Mark decides not only to give us the man's name, Bartimaeus, which literally means the son of Timaeus, but then he repeats that. He says, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus. So in other words, he repeats twice, essentially, who the father of this person is. And St. Augustine had an interesting take on this. He said, clearly it's the father of the man that the gospel writer is trying to emphasize here. And this tells us that this man came from greatness and fell very low into destitution, which I think is interesting. Obviously, it's speculation, but isn't this what happens when we are baptized and we let go of the baptismal grace that God gave us in the sacrament? We have something very great when we're baptized, even as infants, a treasury of grace and an identity as a beloved son, a beloved daughter of God. And what do we often do in our life? We let go of that grace and we fall into the blindness and destitution of sin. So in a sense, like, this is our story. Our parents gave us the gift of baptism at the beginning of our life, not because we were worthy of it, but because our parents wanted to pass on the faith to us. And then in various ways, we have let the faith go. So, Pope Benedict, right before he resigned, he was actually preaching about this passage, and he said, this is the state of the church today. He says, all of our Western society, and he's talking about Western Europe, but he might as well be talking about the United States or Winstead. He says, all of Western society received the gift of faith, this great inheritance from their forefathers. And now Western society has abandoned the gift of faith. It's pretty apt, I think, to think of even in our own community, all of our parish members who aren't receiving the sacraments regularly. So again, I don't say this in judgment because I've experienced addiction to my own sins, so I'm not surprised when other people also experience addiction to their own sins. I'm not surprised by that. I have compassion because I'm a sinner myself. However, we've lost something, and the question is, how does the Lord want to bring back and save what's been lost? This week we listened to a speaker, the priest of the diocese, who was talking about the parable of the 99 sheep. And so the shepherd leaves the 99 to go and seek out and save the one that was lost. And I've always thought that's a funny parable because I grew up on a farm. My dad would never leave 99 pigs unattended while searching out the one pig because you'd come back and then you'd have 85 pigs running around the yard. So the parable's kind of funny like that. But Our speaker said, the 99 are safe because the shepherd is being faithful to the mission, and that is to seek and save the lost. And I was thinking about that in terms of our church. How much do we as Christians try to invite those who have left back to our parish, back to the sacraments? And how healthy we would be if we would be focused on the people who aren't here. If that became the focus of our parish, what a healthy parish we would be. So this is an invitation for all of us to think of how Jesus is inviting us to participate in this. So the friends in today's gospel, or the crowd surrounding Jesus, go from telling the man that he shouldn't cry out to Jesus to encouraging the man to get up and to come to Jesus. Well, that's who we need to be. The ones who encourage those who are in need, who are spiritually poor, like all of us, but especially spiritually poor because deprived of the sacraments. We have to encourage them to come back to Jesus, to come back to the sacraments. So this is a way for all of us to heal the blindness from which we suffer. Bishop Barron always says, if you want to have faith, you have to give your faith away. You have to share it with others, and that strengthens our faith. So today at this Mass, we encounter Jesus, the one who has the power to heal us, the one who has the power to free us from all the ways that we're addicted to sin in our own life, all the ways that we experience destitution spiritually. Let's cry out to the Lord in our own need, our own personal need for healing today. And let's ask the Lord for the grace to be instruments so that we can bring back the many who are lost, who have left, the many who have forsaken their own baptism for the sake of worldly pleasures and goods. Let's ask the Lord for the gift of healing today for ourselves personally and for our parish.